It's 3:38, and it is time for On the Rise with Calamos Investments. The CEO and president of Calamos Investments, John Kadunas, is here with us in studio. Sure glad you are, John. It's quite an eventful day. I mean, you're seeing the Fed chair testify before Capitol Hill, saying we shouldn't use the word transitory anymore. That should be out of our vocabulary. I got lots to ask you, but first of all, what do you make of that?
Well, thanks for having me once again, and I really appreciate it.
Good to see you.
It's been a crazy day. We've seen almost a 1,000-point change in the market, from being up almost 2% in the Dow to ending up significantly down today. A lot of that has to do with some of what the Fed said. A lot of it has to do with the Omicron variant being discovered in California. But to your point, let's talk about the Fed Chair Powell and the word transitory apparently now is not to be used in anybody's vocabulary, where up until just yesterday, or a couple of days ago, actually, he's reconfirmed what he said yesterday. That was what his exact wordage was, and the administration saying it's just transitory.
Now, transitory, just translate transitory for us. I mean, it's temporary.
Sure.
It's going to pop
temporary.
Out and come out of it.
Yes, it's temporary, then it went from temporary to spring, summer, and now they're saying that it might even last even longer. So it's ironic that just being confirmed after about a week that the tone has gone almost a complete U-turn in terms of what the position of the Fed is. Mm-hmm. And so I think they really, really are concerned about inflation, as they should be.
More on that in a moment. We will get back to inflation and prices and that kind of thing. But just generally speaking, because you're a big picture guy, you're on Wall Street, you made a name for yourself and successful in so many different types of markets, that I think you have the kind of perspective to understand this whole thing. I mean, what do you make of the Fed chair in general? How significant is it to all of us that President Biden said, you know what, I'd like to nominate him to re-up him to be the Fed chair again?
I think it was actually a great move, especially with so many uncertainties in this market. To change horses in midstream, as you would say, would probably not have been a great thing, and it would add to the market volatility. So we have enough volatility as it is in the markets today. So to change somebody that they're not accustomed to, no matter what their affiliate is, whether they're hawkish or dovish, in this particular environment, would have been very, very, very risky move. And I think this was a safe move, and that's what the president went for. And I commend him, actually, for that. I think this is great that he did stay with Powell for now. And hopefully it would have given the markets a little bit more stability than we saw today. There was other extraneous factors that and uncertainties. And that's the big thing that makes these markets extremely volatile.
How much of this is the COVID fears renewed? Because we just don't know. I mean, it's a concern of variant, they say, this new variant, and we're not supposed to, they aren't seeing the severe cases at this point in time, and we're just in a wait-and-see mode. How much of a factor is that?
There's an old saying, buy the rumor, sell the truth. And that's what this, I mean, a lot of it is definitely fear and uncertainty. And you see it in the type of movement and the type of stocks. You're going from growth to value and the tilt back when you see the fear. In terms of the growth stocks, the airlines, the cruise stocks, all the stuff that is actually COVID-related, right, for the COVID recovery, get hit really, really hard on days like today when there's another scared of a possible shutdown. You're not only seeing that, but you're seeing that in commodity prices like oil too, right? If there's a shutdown in certain economies and around the world, there's less demand for oil, and therefore the price go down, and we've seen that happen.
Mm-hmm. We just got those jobs report that it looked pretty good, that there was some positive news on that front, but a lot of those were hospitality related. We thought, okay, here we go, and you hope that we do go.
No, that's absolutely right, and that's the fine line that the Fed has to work and walk, and because you got to walk between jobs and creating jobs and keeping inflation tamed, and that's not always easy. And, depending on what they do, whether they're hawkish or dovish, either the stock market wins or the bond market wins. And there's always a loser on the other side of that.
Yeah. So. Unfortunately, that's true. Okay, let me tell you what I heard from the Fed Reserve Chair, and then I want to hear what stood out for you, John Kadunas, sure. as a Wall Street expert and somebody who understands the financial markets far better than I do. But the one, you know, he did talk about inflation and how he seemed to signal that they would, this tapering measure of just giving the economy this fuel, that they were going to speed that up, that the tapering of that money. Does that matter to you? How significant is that?
Well, in the past, depending on how much they slow it down, shouldn't affect the economy too much depending on how strong it is. But if they do it significantly and as quickly as they have highlighted or at least hinted that they might do, then that becomes pretty inflationary. So that will do well for bonds, but it's going to spook the stock market, and you're going to see the stock market sell off pretty significantly, depending on how they do that and as they raise rates.
So wait and see how they do that. Do you think that why would he say something like that? Are these immediate moves? Are these things we should be bracing for? How would you characterize it?
So I think that the sense of the whole transitory feeling that and verbiage that was used by the Fed up until 2 days ago, he was kind of living on borrowed time, if you will, because it was so overdone and it was very apparent that it wasn't transitory. So I think the fact that he's a little bit more safe now in his job and that he's been reappointed. He says, okay, I need to look at, what the long-term thing is, and I can't be saying that things are actually a little bit better than they are, because they're not in terms of inflation. So I think he's made a conscious effort to walk back the word transitory, and by not only, saying we're not going to use the word transitory, but increasing the pullback in terms of the buying that they've been doing.
Anything else that stood out for you and when you listened to the testimony today that we should know about in terms of the economy? Any feeling you got?
There's no surprises there other than the sentiment.
Okay.
But then we got to watch and see what they do as well.
All right.
And there's so many things that can change with a headline that they'll walk back what they said today as well. So, that's why active management is something that we feel is important, because taking advantage of these opportunities, the volatility, adding to positions when the markets are down in names and that you feel that are going to do well going forward, and as they bounce back, and we've seen up and downs here, selling and taking some profits off the table, being able. It's tough to navigate these, but it's also an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so active managers can take advantage of some of this. But, people are getting whipsawed. It's difficult. And I think I've said this in some of the other programs. You have to be invested and not try to time it. Mm-hmm. And let the professionals add and subtract as needed. Because if people just get spooked and pull their money back, then they won't participate in the upside that could happen within the same trading day, which is what we've seen both sides.
More with John Kadunas in a moment here, CEO and president of Calamos Investments, a man who made his name on Wall Street, but he's a Chicago guy, and he's back here in Chicago sharing his perspective on the economy and the financial markets with us. You know, John, we got to get to this when we come back. We're going to check traffic, but did you know the Dollar Tree is now going to be $1.25? Did you hear this?
I
mean, this is another
reason.
And you and I were both Christmas tree shopping separately recently, but it was, we've noticed the prices are there a little bit different than they were a year ago or in years past. More with John Kadunas in a moment. John Kadunas is here with us, CEO of Calamos Investments. Before we took a break there, John, we mentioned that the Dollar Tree is now $1.25. People are noticing these prices differences. And if you've been shopping for a Christmas tree, you notice that too. How high does it go? A lot of concern.
Well, and there's also scarcity, right? So We've been very, very spoiled, and we've been living in a world of excess supply for so many years, and now we're living in a world of excess demand, and that there's result of that, right? And so, and the results of that is there are going to be, despite what some people say, empty shelves. There's going to be scarcity. You know, the commodities are not going to be here. Whether they can get off the boats in time or whatnot. And people are willing to pay more because they have to pay more because they have to translate even at the grocery store. If you talk to people that own grocery stores, well, to keep their shelves stocked, how does all the food get to the grocery store? Through trucks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so there's a scarcity of truckers. We're seeing that even from the boats and the ships in L.A., coming in, the barges, there's not enough trucks unloading them. So that's slowing the supply chain as well. But then when you transport it and you have to pay a lot more for gas, it needs to get translated to the consumer or a lot of these businesses will go under.
Mm-hmm.
So they're translating it to consumers. What does that mean? You're paying more. And it's just basic economics. And mm-hmm. so we're seeing that. So bought a fresh Christmas tree this past weekend, and it was significantly more money than the year before.
Like what, 20% more? What would you say?
I'd say at least 20-25% more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we saw too.
And I'm hearing that there's a lot of places that have shortages and don't have them. We happen to be at a place, I think they have their own farm and they grow their trees.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't a shortage, but there was definitely a price increase.
Yeah, you notice that. You
yes,
do when you're
you're
like, what?
That.
How much is that? That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. So what should we sort of brace ourselves here around the corner? What are the smart people like you at Calamos Investments? What are you telling clients? What do you think is ahead here?
Well, look, a lot of people are concerned about inflation. A lot of people are concerned about the markets. We feel that there's going to be continued volatility. We think the economy is still pretty strong. We heard that in job reports.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it has to do still with what's going to happen with COVID, number one. And number two, fiscally. Fiscal policy is going to drive what's going to happen next year. What can this administration pass, and what's that going to do to the economy? So depending on how much gets passed and how much spending is going to occur, is going to also dictate what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to predict at this point.
It is, yeah. I mean, and you're right about that. You have to be prepared, and that's why active management, as you point out, is ready to pounce when you need to, and things are changing. And I think that's the part about it, is just there's some uncertainty in the markets, and I think people feel that, and they wonder, you know, where do you go? And the other thing is the oil, which you mentioned earlier. Do you see it continuing to rise? Is it going to level off a little bit here, John? What do you kind of see on that market as we look at our gas prices?
Well, I think that that oil is so geopolitical. And all right, so we released some of the reserves, and I don't think that made much of a difference at all. At 50 million barrels a day doesn't really put a dent in it. It's 2.5 days of consumption for the United States. So it's not really something that's going to move the needle. And you can see, in fact, when that was announced, the gas went up. Because if the Saudis decide that they're not going to reduce their production or just increase it, that's going to determine what's going to happen with the price of oil.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything else. That's what the Saudi Arabia is. The problem is we're a net importer now of oil when we were self-sufficient beforehand, and now we're not. And so the rest of the world is going to determine, you know, what the price is, and is it's unfortunate, but until that gets fixed, we're at the mercy of the people that are producing all the oil.
And there you go. There we are. John, thank you for your insights. It's good to have someone like you weigh in on these matters when we see all the headlines and try to digest them. And to hear from you is really great. And have fun decorating your Christmas tree, by the way.
Thank you.
Make sure your kids appreciate it, how much daddy spent on that.